Amen. That's what we need, is a touch from the Holy Spirit. We need Him to speak to us, to comfort us, to show us that He's still on the throne. And we should give our praise, our worship, our gratitude, our thanks in return. If you have your Bibles this morning, let's turn to the book of 1 Samuel, chapter 28. First Samuel, chapter 28. In services like this, it's hard to so many times know which way the Lord would have you to preach. And I just pray this morning that this is the Word of God that will help us, that will comfort us, that will encourage us to keep going forward. First Samuel, chapter 28. We'll begin reading in verse number 3. First Samuel, chapter number 28. The Bible says, "Now Samuel was dead, and all of Israel lamented him. And he buried him in Ramath, and even in his own city. And Saul put away those things that had familiar spirits and wizards out of the land. And the Philistines gathered themselves together and came and pitched in Shunem. And Saul gathered all of Israel together, and they pitched in Gilboa. And when Saul saw the host of the Philistines, he was afraid, and his heart greatly trembled. And when Saul inquired of the Lord answered him not, neither by dreams, nor by Urim, nor by prophets. Then said Saul unto his servants, seek me a woman that hath a familiar spirit, that I may go to her and inquire of her. And his servants said to him, behold, there is a woman that hath a familiar spirit at Endor. And Saul disguised himself and put on other raiment and went, and he went, and two men with him, and they came to the woman by night, and he said, I pray thee, divine unto me by a familiar spirit, and bring him up that whom I shall name unto thee. And the woman said unto him, behold, thou knowest what Saul hath done, how he hath cut off those that have familiar spirits and the wizards out of the land. Wherefore then thou layest a snare for my life to cause me to die. And Saul sware to her by the Lord, saying, as the Lord liveth, there shall no punishment happen to thee for this thing. Then said the woman, whom shall I bring unto thee? And he said, bring me up Samuel. Verse 12. And when the woman saw Samuel, she cried with a loud voice. And the woman spake to Saul, saying, why hast thou deceived me? For thou art Saul. And the king said unto her, be not afraid, for what sawest thou? And the woman said unto Saul, I saw God's ascending out of the earth. And he said unto her, verse 14, what form is he of? And she said, an old man cometh up, and he is covered with a mantle. And Saul perceived that it was Samuel, and he stooped with his face to the ground and bowed himself. And Samuel said to Saul, why hast thou disquieted me to bring me up? And Saul answered, I am sore distressed, for the Philistines make war against me, and God has departed from me and answer me no more, neither by prophets nor by dreams. Wherefore I've called thee, that thou mayest make known unto me what I shall do. Verse 16. Then said Samuel, wherefore then doest thou ask of me, seeing the Lord is departed from thee and has become thine enemy? Father, we want to thank you this morning that we can call upon your name. Thank you this morning, Father, that you still are on the throne. Lord, we want to thank you, Father, for the Word of God, and thank you for that ability to read and to study and to perceive, Lord, the Word of God. And we pray, Father, this morning, you would speak to your people. I pray you would stir our hearts. I pray you'd comfort that one that's in a distressful situation. I pray, Father, you'd be with the family, Lord, that's lost his precious daughter. Lord, we know where she's at, but Lord, we're praying for comfort and peace for them. I pray, Father, for peace for us, Lord, that you'd come and help us and stir us, Lord, and encourage us through your Word. We'll love you and we'll thank you for it. Let us be obedient to your name, to your calling this morning. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. The book of 1 Samuel and the book of 2 Samuel, you'll find that it begins with a low point of Israel. They were spiritually low. As you study 1 Samuel, you'll find that the priesthood had been corrupt. As you study Samuel, you'll find that idolatry was rampant, that idolatry was being practiced all throughout the land. You'll find that the judges were dishonest, and the Ark of the Covenant was not even in the tabernacle, that it was gone, it was missing, and that represents the presence of God was not with them. But through the influence of two godly men, Samuel and King David, God reverses this condition. He brings them back to a relationship or to a fellowship with them once again. In chapter number 1 of Samuel, you'll find that the people, that Israel, was crying for a king. They were saying, God, give us a king like every other nation. They were crying and pleading for a king. But you'll find there was one woman, one godly woman, that was crying and pleading for a child. She was asking God to give her a child, that she could raise this child for his honor and glory. And you'll find that Hannah, she gives birth to this one named Samuel. Samuel was raised in the house of God. He was blessed and anointed by God. He was raised and became a prophet. He became a priest and was the last judge of Israel. Samuel, he would give the word of God, and he would direct the children of Israel through the word of God as God spoke and as God led. And as they would listen to the word of God and as they would hear the word of God, they would believe the word of God, and God would give them victory time and time again. However, Israel, they did not want a theocracy. They did not want a God to lead their nation. They did not want a God to lead their government. They wanted a king like every other nation. So God gives them the desires of their heart. They reject Samuel. They reject God. They choose Saul as the king. And Saul comes upon the king. He looked like a king. He acted like a king. And he won the hearts of Israel. And for a little time, for a short time, Saul obeyed God's word. Saul started well. He listened to God. He obeyed Samuel's preaching. He listened to Samuel's advice. He listened to the word of God. He applied it to his heart. But there came a point in Saul's life where he departed from God. There came a point in his life where God no longer spoke to him. Saul's in trouble. As we read this morning, the enemy is all around about. Israel's needing a word. Saul's needing a word. And God is silent. God's not speaking. He's nowhere to be found. The silence is deafening. Lord, just one word. Lord, give us just one direction. Lord, speak to us one more time. Yet God was silent. Where are you at, Lord? We need you, God. We're in trouble. You're not speaking to us. What a terrible, terrible place that would be when God is no longer speaking. I want to preach on a thought just for a few minutes this morning. When God stops speaking. Saul, he was the king. Saul needed a word of God. Israel was in trouble and they just needed God to speak one more time. Yet God was silent. I see, first of all, their distressed situation. Notice verse 5. It says, in verse 5, and when Saul saw the host of the Philistines, he was afraid and his heart greatly trembled. Saul saw this host. He saw the multitude. He saw the great armies of the enemy. They were encamped all about him, and his heart greatly trembled. And who was he going to call for help? Who was he going to call for advice? Where was he going to get the word of God? We find that Samuel, the man of God, has died. He's departed. The prophet is gone. And Israel's left in sorrow. Israel's left in sadness. Israel's left with a state of heaviness. And they were lamenting, the Bible says. They were spiritually seeking guidance. They were spiritually seeking God. They were needing direction. Who would guide them and who would lead them? They were in a distressed situation, yet God was not speaking. Saul, he once walked in the Spirit. Saul once was a man of great courage. He once was a man of great backbone and fortitude. He once was a man that was led by the Spirit of the Lord. But you'll find that the Lord departed from him in 1 Samuel chapter 16. And now, after the death of Saul, he's in a distressed situation. His courage is gone. His fortitude, his backbone is completely gone. And he's needing someone to speak. Saul is so afraid that the Bible says that his heart greatly trembled. It has the idea of shaking, of being terrified that the enemy was surrounded him. The Bible says they were pitched in Shunem. Shunem was that city that means a place of double rest. It should have been a time of rest for Saul, a time of rest for Israel. But the enemy had encamped. The enemy had pitched is the word. It means to camp out. It means to stay put. They're not going anywhere. And Saul sees this great enemy that surrounded him, that camped about him, that was not going anywhere. And he's greatly distressed. And there was no word from God. No one to come by. No brother and sister in Christ to say, Saul, we're praying for you. No one to come by and say, Saul, keep going, keep striding, keep walking after the Lord. It'll be okay. No word from God. A distressful situation. I wonder this morning, how many of us find ourselves in this same situation? Seems like the enemy for weeks, the enemy for months, the enemy for years perhaps has been encamped about you, that they're not going anywhere, the things that you're facing, and it seems like God is not speaking. Not once, not twice in your Bible, but numerous times that says that the Syrians warred against Israel. They would lay snares and try to trap. They would send their men and devise an ambush against the Israel. And it seems like time and time again that Israel would somehow deviate and they would delay and they would escape the ambush. This made the king of Syria angry. He tells his men, he said, which one of you is telling Israel our thoughts? Which one of you is telling our military plans? And one servant, he said, King, it's not me, it's not any of your men, but it's that prophet Elijah over in Israel. He's telling them your very thoughts, even the very thoughts in your bedchamber. This upset the king. He sent a great host, the Bible says, a multitude to go and to kill Elijah. And they find Elijah in the city of Dothan. They surround the city. They encamp the city. They pitch there in Dothan. And one early morning, the Bible says that Elijah and his servant go out. Elijah's servant begins to look at the enemy. Elijah's servant begins to wring his hands and says, Master Elijah, what are we going to do? Look at the Philistines. Look at this great army. Look at the multitude. And Elijah, he does not look at the enemy. He does not look at the multitude or the great host of warriors that's encamped around him. But rather, he looks up. He begins to pray. And he doesn't pray for deliverance. He doesn't pray that God would give him victory. He prays that God would open his servant's eyes. God opened his servant's eyes. And the Bible says that he saw a multitude of chariots of fire around about Elijah. This morning, we don't need to look at our situation. We don't need to look at our enemy. We don't look at the things that are going around about us. But we need to look to God and say, God, open our eyes. Open our eyes one more time. Give us a word that we can keep going forward. It was a distressful situation. God, would you reveal yourself? Would you show yourself mighty one more time? But number two, not only was it a distressful situation, but I see there was the desperation of Saul. Notice this desperation of Saul. So many times, desperate people do desperate things. That's what Saul finds himself doing. He's acting out of desperation. The enemy has encamped. The enemies have pitched. Saul was dead, or Samuel was dead. God's not speaking. God's silent. And Saul goes looking for something. He goes looking for someone that our Bible says has a familiar spirit. It means the one that invokes the dead. It means one that calls upon the dead, that tries to communicate with the dead. We would call them a medium or even a witch. A lot of people call this passage the witch of Endor. He's desperate. He's in despair. He can't find God. God has left him. God's not speaking to him. God's silent. And notice verse number 7. It says, then Saul said to his servants, seek me a woman that hath a familiar spirit, that I may go to her and inquire of her. And his servant said to him, behold, there is a woman that hath a familiar spirit at Endor. And Saul disguised himself and put on other raiment, and he went and two men with him, and they came to the woman by night. And he said, I pray thee, divine unto me by familiar spirits, and bring him up of whom I shall name unto thee. I don't have explanation for this passage. There's great writers, there's great commentators, there's great preachers better than I that can explain, they can offer insight on how this happened or why this happened or even if it was a trick by this witch at Endor. But all I can tell you this morning is Saul was so desperate. He was so longing for God. God once blessed him. God once anointed him. God once had his hand upon him. Now God's left him. He's so desperate, he goes looking for things that he shouldn't look for. Do you see the desperation? Matthew Henry said of this text, he said, since Saul wasn't hearing from heaven, he resolves to knock at the gates of hell to see if any would befriend and give him advice. He's so desperate that God has left him. He's looking for things he shouldn't look for. You can rest assured this morning. If you get to the place where God's not speaking to you, you'll be so desperate, you'll find yourself doing stuff out of character. There was a distressed situation. There was a desperate act of Saul. But I see thirdly, and this is where I want to look this morning, the departing from the Savior. G. Morgan Campbell, that great evangelist, said that God never departs from a man until a man departs from God. Notice verse number 6. It says, and when Saul inquired of the Lord, he looked and he longed for the Lord. The Lord answered him not, neither by dreams, nor by Urim, nor by prophets. Verse 15. And Samuel said to Saul, why hast thou disquieted me to bring me up? And Saul answered, I am sore distressed, for the Philistines make war against me, and God is departed from me and answereth me no more. Verse 16. Then said Samuel, wherefore then doest thou ask of me, seeing the Lord is departed from thee? Saul seeks Samuel. Samuel says, I'm sorry, Saul. God's drawn the line. God said he's not speaking no more. And even if I knew, Saul, I couldn't tell you because God is not speaking. What a sad state. What a sad time that would be in where God is no longer speaking to you. Oh, and you say, wait a minute, preacher. Brother Randy just sang about the sweet Holy Ghost, the sweet Spirit of God that dwells with us and lives within us. And the day you got born again, the day you came and you asked God to save your soul, the day you asked God to forgive your sins, you had the indwelling Spirit that lives within inside of you. That's true. And Paul told that church at Corinth in chapter 6:3, verse 16, I believe. He said, know ye not that ye are the Spirit of God and that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you. I was born June 19th, 1975, to the parents of Jerry and Deborah Davis. They are my parents, and I'm their son. There's nothing I can do that'll ever change that relationship. No matter what I say, no matter where I go, no how far I drift away from them or reject them, there's nothing that'll ever change that relationship. That relationship does not change. But I can get to a point in my life where I stop listening to them. I reject them. I'm in complete disobedience. I'm in complete rebellion. I can get to the point where they have no part of me, and that's the fellowship. That fellowship can change. My relationship will never change, but your fellowship can change. We find Saul, he's distressed. Saul's discouraged. Saul's desperate. He's seeking something from the Lord, and God's silent. God's not speaking. And I believe that Saul was a saved man. I believe he's in heaven, and we'll see him one day. Yet God has took his anointing from Saul. God's took his hand from Saul, and he's gave it to little David. God doesn't need any of us this morning. He does not need me, and he does not need you. And if we aren't doing what God desires, what he requires of us, what he's given us, those talents, those gifts, those abilities, he'll take them from us and he'll lay them on the shoulders of someone else. Saul, he was the first king of God's people. Saul had slain the thousands and thousands, and Saul had won victory after victory after victory. Yet Saul got to a point where God is not speaking. He was chosen. He was anointed. He was approved. And God is silent. Three things and I'm done. You say, preacher, how can you get to a point where God's not speaking? I see number one, Saul's submission. Verse 14, the Bible says, and he said to her, he's speaking to this woman, this witch, this medium at Endor. He said to her, what form is he of? Speaking of Samuel. And she said, an old man cometh up, and he is covered with a mantle. And Saul perceived that it was Samuel, and he stooped with his face to the ground and bowed himself. Saul perceives. Means he understood, or he comprehended. He recognized that it was the man of God, that it was Samuel. It was the one that once gave him the word of God. And the Bible says that he stooped and bowed. Brother Randy, to my knowledge, you'll never find in the scripture where Saul stooped and bowed before this. The scriptures never record where Saul stoops, where Saul bows, where Saul worships, where Saul gives homage to God and says, God, you're still on a throne. God, you're in control. God, thank you for saving my soul. He was a young man. He goes looking for his father's donkeys, and he meets Samuel for the first time as a young man, and Samuel anoints Saul as captain, means commander or prince or ruler over Israel. He's anointed over God's people as a prince. Yet Saul never bowed. In chapter 16, I believe it is, chapter 11, he's anointed as king. Now he's went from prince to king, but yet he never bows. God gives Saul victory upon victory upon victory, but Saul never bows. Samuel spoke the word of God to Saul time and time again, prophesied to him, yet Saul never bowed. I think what he's telling us, that Saul was a prince. Saul was a king. Saul was a ruler. Saul received the word of God. Saul was a great soldier. And here it is. Saul was blessed time and time again, yet he never bowed. There was never a submission. There was never worship. There was never a humbling of himself. The Bible tells us in 1 Peter 5:6 to humble yourself under the mighty hand of God that he may exalt you in due time. Saul never showed submission. And now God is not speaking. I wonder this morning, has he poured out his blessings to you? Has he blessed you time and time again? yet we fail for some reason to come to God, to stoop and to bow and say, God, I worship you. I submit myself to you. I thank you. And God, I'm laying all that I have at your feet. Brother Randy, I wished I could sing. If I could, I would sing. I woke up this morning and got out of bed. He pours out his blessings on me. I went to the kitchen for my daily bread. He pours out his blessings on me. I opened the window to breathe in the morning. He pours out his blessings on me. And I heard the birds singing hymns on the lawn. He pours out his blessings on me. I went to get out in my old Chevrolet. He pours out his blessings on me. And I was down at work. There's another payday. He pours out his blessings on me. I drove by the church where I first knelt to pray. He pours out his blessings on me. That's where my friends and family go to worship each Sunday. He pours out his blessings on me. That's where the preacher man preaches the word straight and true. He pours out his blessings on me. There's fire in the pulpit and fire in the pew. He pours out his blessings on me. That's where I lay down my burdens and my cares are all gone. He pours out his blessings on me. And sinners still find their way to the cross. He pours out his blessings on me. He's pouring out blessings and I don't deserve them. Time and time again, just to think how he would love a wretched old sinner that he would die on the cross for my sins. I'd like to testify just for a moment to tell you how good God's been. He's poured out his blessings time and time again. God poured out his blessings on Saul, yet Saul never once bowed in submission to him. God's not speaking. Saul's not bowing. God's not speaking because Saul's submission. God's not speaking, number two, because Saul's sacrifice. Turn with me, if you will, to 1 Samuel chapter 13. 1 Samuel chapter 13. Saul once again finds himself in great distress. Saul finds himself at a distressful situation. He does not know what to do. He does not know where to go. Notice in chapter 13, verse number 5, the Bible says, the Philistines gathered themselves together to fight with Israel, 30,000 chariots, 6,000 horsemen, and the people as the sand is on the sea shore in multitude. And they came up and pitched in Mishaim, eastward of Bethaven. And when the men of Israel saw that they were in the strait, for the people were distressed, then the people did hide themselves in caves and in thickets and in rocks and in high places and in pits. Notice in verse number 9, the Bible says, and Saul said, bring hither a burnt offering to me and peace offerings. And he offered the burnt offering. Saul, once again, is a distressful situation. He's never submitted himself to God. And now he finds himself facing the enemy. Samuel said, Saul, I will be there. Just wait on God. Saul, I'll be there. Just wait. But Saul said, oh no, give me the sacrifice. I'll take the sacrifice and I'll offer it to God. It sounds like a good thing. But the problem is Saul is king. The only one that could offer a sacrifice was the priest. Saul did something that God told him that was forbidden. You see, there was only one king that could offer a sacrifice. That king was not only prophet, he was not only priest, but he was King Jesus. And he offered that perfect sacrifice. But Saul tries to take the role as a priest. He lays down that sacrifice and says, give it to me. I'll pay the sacrifice. I'll do the offering. I'll pay the peace offering. This displeased the Lord so much. It upset the Lord so much. In verse number 13, it said, Samuel said unto Saul, thou hast done foolishly, and thou hast not kept the commandment of the Lord which have commanded thee. In verse 14, but now thy kingdom shall not continue. The Lord hath sought him a man after his own heart, and the Lord hath commanded him to be captain over his people. This upset God so much that Saul was trying to sacrifice. He was doing something that God called him not to do. That he took the kingdom from him. He took all the power and he gave them to David. See, Saul He was a man after Israel's heart. He wanted power. He wanted prestige. He wanted all the glory. He wanted to be paraded in front of all the men and the women saying, Saul, Saul, Saul. But David, he was a man after God's own heart. I wonder this morning, are you doing what God's called you to do? He's saved your soul. He's redeemed you. Yet we do so many things that God does not call us to do. Saul did not submit. Saul sacrificed something he should have never done. He called him to be king, not to be priest. Thirdly, I'm done. I see God's not speaking because of Saul's summons. Verse 18, back in our text. 1 Samuel chapter 28. Verse 18. 1 Samuel 28, verse 18. God's not speaking to Saul. Saul never once bowed to God. Saul tried to sacrifice. He tried to do something God not told him not to do. I see, thirdly, Saul summoned. Verse 18. The Bible says, Samuel's telling Saul here, because thou obeyest not the voice of the Lord, nor executest his fierce wrath upon Elimelech, therefore hath the Lord done this thing unto thee this day. Samuel, I'm distressed. Samuel, I'm discouraged. Samuel, I need a word from God, and God's not speaking to me. God said, Saul, you've never bowed. You've never submitted yourself. Saul, you tried to sacrifice. It wasn't something I called you to do. And thirdly, he said, because thou obeyest not the voice of the Lord. The Lord called Saul to do something specific. He's called Saul for his presence. He's called Saul to appear at a certain place. He called Saul into action. It means he summoned Saul time and time again, yet he obeyed not the voice of the Lord. But I see in closing that Saul seemed always to keep something back for himself. He said that you executed not his fierce wrath upon Elimelech. Elimelech, that was God's enemy. He told Saul to destroy, to cast judgment on him, to destroy all in Elimelech, all in the land, from the eldest to the littlest, the cattle and all the things. Yet Saul, he kept the best sheep. He kept the best oxen. And the Bible says the chiefest things. He kept things back for himself. Brother Darren said it this past week. He said, you and I are all thieves because we robbed God of His glory. I wonder this morning, what are we keeping back from the Lord? We don't submit. I don't submit. God's called me to do something, and yet so often I'm foolish and I'm sluggish and I'm lethargic to His call. And so often He wants us just to give and give and give, not monetarily, yet we keep it back. Why is God not speaking? Because Saul never submitted. Why is God not speaking? Because Saul sacrificed when he never should. Why is God not speaking? Because Saul was summoned time and time again, yet he kept it back. You'd stand to your feet this morning.